Welcome to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina. Well.
Well.
I mean.
I mean, yeah.
It's truly the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think we're all emotional in having to record pretty much right as learning that Roe v. Wade was overturned. So.
Yeah. I mean, that. So. On the day we're recording this, that happened yesterday, and I don't know. I've just been in a real state of just like despondency. I'm sad. I think I'm not even like, I'm not even angry, which is like part of the problem, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am angry. I'm angry at the entire like system, but I think I'm just, I'm so despondent that I'm actually kind of like scaring myself a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Because there's like apathy where I'm just kind of like, well,
it's hopelessness.
It's hopelessness. It feels like hopelessness. And I don't understand. It's made worse by the fact that I feel like we just have to keep going. Like nobody's going to stop to acknowledge like, hey, the world is falling apart.
Like, well, yeah, this is such a slide into like, you know, it's one thing for women to not have reproductive rights or rights for our own body, but it opens the door to so many other decisions. It's like, so if we don't do what we can to close it now, there's a lot of things that are at stake that are even more extreme. And that's what's also really upsetting to me, you know?
The people that are like, oh, it's not, you guys didn't lose the opportunity. It's just now it's state rights.
Okay.
I'm just like, honestly, this is just the tip of the iceberg, you guys. Like, it truly is. This is just the tip of the iceberg on the next things that are going to be taken away from us. It's not even the state right versus federal laws to me. What it is that this is even a fucking thing that we have to consider having a law about. Why are we literally, why is the medical decisions and how we medically treat our bodies up for debate at all?
Yeah.
Why is this, why do we ever need a law to give us
that
quote,
argument
unquote, right?
About states' rights or whatever? If you don't like it, just leave whatever state you're in. Like, a lot of people don't have that option.
Yeah, it's a very cavalier, fucking privileged take.
A lot of people can't just pick up and leave whatever like state they live in and come somewhere like a Los Angeles, which by the way is so expensive right now. Like, gas is like over $7 in Los Angeles right now, and we expect people just to be like, well, if you don't like living here, if you don't like living in whatever state, then just go to the coast. It's like, that's not a solution.
No.
Like, what are you talking about? It feels so.
If you're angry, if you're sad, if you're despondent, if you're any of those things, we feel it too. We're there. And I think we're all still processing, like, for me, I watched the Janes on Hulu, and I'm like, I'm ready to go full blown underground.
Jane Collective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it's just, I'm sad. I'm just really sad because I just want people to care about each other enough to want to take care of each other. And it just feels like we are moving as a nation, further and further away from that and from coming from a place of like compassion and empathy for other
human beings. It feels like a business.
Human beings.
It feels like our country is a corporation, honestly.
That's what's hard for me. It's just like, I'm just like, why can't we treat each other with, life is so hard. Like, life is so hard. Why can't we just be cool?
Just like, be chill.
Just be cool to each other. Just try to help each other navigate this very difficult world, and instead we're constantly doing things that are making it harder to live, especially if you are a member of any marginalized group.
Yeah.
Life is already hard.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just making it harder and harder and harder, and it's not okay. It's just not okay. So if you're feeling like it's not okay, Me too. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
Whew, absolutely.
Well.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh-wee. Well, you know what? We did have a pool party yesterday. We were like, you know what? Let's all like shut it down early.
Yeah.
Like let's all just meet at the pool, drink some claws, feminist pool party, just claws the ladies, out. Claws out, hashtag claws out. And it was really nice because it's been so hot in Los Angeles as well. Like it's been so hot. Like today I think is going to be up in the 90s again.
Yeah.
And I sent you guys that, who is it? It's like Heinz ketchup. Oh, that ketchup popsicle for the
ma'am. Wait, why?
What's going on? There are just some things that really like shouldn't exist. Like just some foods that you're like,
For why? Do you know how much it goes in to create and produce a product?
Yes.
First of all, that's like an intense, immense endeavor.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there are people starving to death.
Yeah.
And you have the audacity to make something disgusting, like a ketchup fucking popsicle.
By the way, it's French's, just so that I don't like just
disparage.
Don't go at Heinz. Okay. Yeah. It's French's. French's made it. Is there any person? Is there any person on this planet who's like,
refreshing?
Good. Like
refreshing, you know? On a hot day, I want a cold
tomato
ketchup.
You had it right, Keegan. The only use for it whatsoever would be a Bloody Mary or a michelada
Probably if I'd gone out, if I was out at like a brunch place and they were like, this is kind of like quirky, funny, Instagrammy, our Bloody Mary features a French's ketchup popsicle.
But some,
I'd be like,
some
I'll try
people
it.
Like that stuff. There's like Jelly Bellies that they sell that are like vomit flavored.
That's like a ha ha ha. Like,
but
can you?
Still, I'm like, somebody literally worked really hard in high school and got straight A's and then like went to college and was like, I'm going to study this like food science thing or whatever. And then got hired for Jelly Belly, and their career, their life has been spent developing vomit flavored Jelly Bellies.
Can we also please discuss what is that process like? Like, how are you like, how am I going to get this flavor correct? Ugh,
just right.
Like, what are you sampling against?
Can exactly.
we please? Like,
I think we all have vomited before, right?
But like, I feel like I don't know. I've never developed anything like that, but I know with cooking, if you're trying to get a flavor right,
profile,
like how,
right?
Yeah. What's going into that? What's going into the vomit flavored Jelly Belly?
Yeah.
First of all, I also want to apologize right now because we did get an email from a listener who is pregnant currently.
Oh, and shout
we
out.
We were telling a story.
She was like, trauma.
Because we were telling a story that involved someone vomiting and it made her wretch, she had a trigger.
Oh no.
So sorry if this entire Jelly Belly conversation is re-triggering your trauma.
Also
response.
Sorry if this is your job. I mean, I'm glad that you're
I want you to reach out
or whatever, but please reach out and let us know more about it.
Yeah, like, you know, it's also it reminds me as well that Kraft macaroni and cheese, they put out a couple of years ago, I think it was like a special for Valentine's Day, where they put out candy flavored mac and cheese. So it was like a mac and cheese, like regular box mac and cheese that had a candy packet.
Nope.
It was pink.
I hate
absolutely
it.
Absolutely fucking
it
not.
In.
No.
I also
Why?
Am not
no,
a fan of the green foods
no.
St. Patrick's Day either.
I never, even when I was a kid, green eggs and ham, I was like, no, thank you.
My dad, 1 year, got a bunch of green food coloring and tried to make a green pizza for St. Patrick's Day.
Why?
And I have... It,
yeah.
I have to imagine that our Irish listeners are like, why?
Yeah.
Why are y'all like this?
Yes.
Why are you doing this?
Why are you like this?
You know, we don't do that over here.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
you know.
It's not a thing. Ugh. Yeah. The food being green is not a good.
Or do you remember purple ketchup?
Yes.
Whenever I was a kid, there was like
that.
Purple and green ketchup.
Yes. I remember that
was marketed for
what reason? It doesn't make any sense.
The 90s was a wild time food-wise.
Oh,
like the 90s food scene was real weird. Like, really, we just did all kinds of weird shit. Like, do you remember those drinks that had just like little chunks of things floating in them?
No,
you remember
that? God, they were
like little gelatinous, like,
ew,
floating around.
No,
like, the drink scene, very weird. Sobeys.
I do remember like the little the little barrels.
Oh my
god,
you were
listening
to How Did This Get Made? Because they were just talking about the little barrels.
The little barrel with the foil
on
the top.
Just were talking about this. Yeah. Those things tasted awful.
They drank the shit like a science experiment. If you haven't had one as an adult, me too. I've had
the orange ones. Surprisingly, were like my favorite.
Oh yeah.
And the plastic on the rim cut the fuck out of your mouth.
Yep. Like, it was like, yes.
What? Did we hate children? What are we doing? Like,
oh, man.
Oh, my God.
What a time.
Wild, wild time.
Yeah, the pizza Lunchables. I could go on. What a time.
Cold I never pizza. Got those. That sounds awful.
Like cold marinara sauce. Like,
disgusting.
Raw pepperonis.
Gross. I mean, and like dough.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, what?
And I ate the shit. I felt privileged.
Well, you were, because like, it was a rich people food. Getting a Lunchable for lunch? Jesus.
I know.
What are you, rich?
No.
I had a foil covered sandwich.
Wet sandwich. Yes. Always wet. I don't know why. Even if there was nothing to make it wet on it.
This is why you hate wet bread.
Wet sandwich.
Triggered.
Whole apple that smashed the sandwich.
Yes, that's right.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Which is why it's wet, because like whatever liquid was on it just got just smashed.
Yeah,
nothing like a squish.
A banana that wasn't quite ripe. So you didn't eat it. But, it was gross.
Or too ripe. Yeah.
And then also those, you remember those Lance's crackers?
Yeah.
That were just like dry as the Sahara.
Yes.
You would never be able to like chew just one of them. You would literally be dehydrated for the next year if you ate one.
And 3 out of 4 of them were smashed.
Yes. From said apple.
Yes. Of course.
What was the apple doing in there? It's just like
fuck
a
that apple.
Ball.
Yeah, honestly. Fuck that. And nobody ate that apple.
No.
That apple never got ate.
It's not even good bartering material.
No.
You can't even. I used to be so embarrassed because like my mom didn't want to buy us. Like she did like 1 or 2 years, but like she didn't want to buy us lunch boxes. Like, or lunch
bags. Oh, I was embarrassed. It was so lame to have a fucking lunchbox. It was like so uncool, and I got made fun of by all the brown bag kids.
I wanted a brown bag so bad.
Me too. Ugh. I was so embarrassed, in my lunchbox.
That I had to have a stupid lunchbox. All I wanted was a brown bag. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because when I was in school, everybody had like lunch boxes. Like, and they were, and everyone got like a new one every year. Like, they were like nice. And so when my mom, it wasn't even a brown bag. Like, my mom was like, why? We have like, everyone has that cabinet full of Walmart bags. Yep. She's like, take your lunch.
Oh, no. Yep. It's like, even more embarrassing.
You bunny ear the top of it.
Yep.
You know? And then she would never buy the Ziploc baggies that have the like seal.
Oh,
the ones
that
you fold
the
it over.
Yes. Ones.
And I'm like,
yes.
I look so poor right now.
My mom one time packed a tuna sandwich
How
in my lunch.
How dare you?
That's and awful. And I vividly remember the smell.
Oh my
and
God.
And it permeated the whole, like through the lunchbox.
Oh no.
Into the classroom.
Oh no.
Honestly, I'll go
and
hungry.
And everyone was talking about it the whole time. Like, it stinks in here. Yeah. And this is probably
you're
like second, third grade.
Yeah, it does. That's weird.
I was
wonder
like,
what that is.
Just like sweating profusely, just dreading like, oh my God, lunch. And everyone's going to know that I'm the tuna girl.
Also, what was going on with like, we never refrigerated our shit.
Also
ever?
That.
Yep.
It's a tuna in a hot classroom that you're going to eat like
why?
6 hours later.
How
like,
did
not-
we, no. any of us make it? Like, I don't know how any of us made it to adulthood. Like,
I do remember though, there was a point where it was like, my parents were like, not lazy, but they were just too busy to be packing me lunch. Both my parents worked, and it was just like, at some point it was just like, here's a 20. Log it into your food account or whatever for the month. I had like a month of money, lunch money, you know?
Ugh.
And then, So I got the Treo lunch.
Oh, yeah. We did that for a while. I mean, and at my elementary school, actually, we had this like commissary thing that would be open so you could go and buy like candy.
What?
And then towards the end of my elementary school career, they started selling pizza by the slice. at that commissary thing. So it's like, if you were like Richie Rich Bougie, you could go pay probably way too much for one slice of
vending
pizza.
Machine pizza. Wow.
No, it was a person.
Oh,
like who, like, I don't know. They went and got a stack of pizzas and then they would sell you like one slice.
That sounds
to elementary school kids, which I'm like, we were
for profit. Yeah. That sounds like somebody was like, we got to raise money for.
Yeah.
I'll tell you it worked.
Yeah.
Because nothing made you feel more cool than being the person who was able to buy
like,
this
slice
bitch, of
pizza. I got pizza money.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm rolling hard on some pizza.
Pizza and sour Skittle money was like,
oh, man.
Where it was at.
That's how you're flexing in middle school.
Yeah.
It was elementary school. Yeah. Even. Like, wow. A time.
Yeah, we didn't even have vending machines in elementary school.
I mean, honestly, it was kind of weird because I was just like, why are we allowing kids aged like 5 through 10 access to like a bunch of candy?
Like, and soda.
Doesn't feel and, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Squeez-Its. Yes. They also sold
Squeez-Its.
Juices. Yeah. Which is just pure sugar.
Do you remember the Burples? Burple.
I have no idea.
They were
what
like,
that is.
They like, you could stretch them out. They were like accordion shaped plastic and you know, like squish them.
Okay. I do. I remember. I didn't know that they were called that, but yes. Yeah. What was going like the single use plastic in the '90s is.
Well, it's here to stay for a while.
Yeah.
Forever.
Oh man. Everything is awful.
Well, speaking of awful and speaking of the fact that we just like took this reminiscence down the rabbit hole of middle
junk
school
food.
Lunches and stuff, which is so fucking random. But hey, that's why you pay us the big bucks. What about doing Disney villains for FMK?
Yeah.
Okay. Stay on theme for this middle school.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I got to think about the villains. Okay. Since we're going to go like middle school and or age appropriate, I'm gonna do the Beauty and the Beast one. I'm gonna do what's his name?
Gaston.
Yeah. You would, of
I would.
You picked like the buffest one.
I would.
Of course you did. Okay. Listen, I know he's a lion.
Mm.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lion King was like my shit back in elementary school.
Scar.
So I'm gonna go Scar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strong.
Well, my Disney movie when I was a kid that I was obsessed with was Little Mermaid.
Oh,
so I'm actually going to go for Ursula.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think all these are better than Jafar. So.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I blocked that one out because Aladdin was my bigger movie at the time. But I will never forget that scene where she's like playing with his beard and she's like, it's all twisted. And she's like trying to flirt with him. And I'm like,
yeah.
Gross. Okay. I know what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I am going to fuck Gaston.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be good.
No.
I know it's not going to be good.
No, he is a narcissist.
Yes. Yeah. Awful.
Jackhammering away.
Fucking a narcissist is not.
Doesn't care about
no
you.
No foreplay.
No.
None.
No. None.
He's not going to eat the
You're
kitty.
Not even there, no. really.
He is definitely. Gaston 100% does not eat.
No, he's not going downtown at all.
No. He is for sure like a mirrored room.
He.
Watching himself.
He pushes. He's a head pusher.
He's a head pusher.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, but, okay. All the very bad. But I think it'll be quick.
I think
it'll be
true.
Pretty quick.
Probably.
And I also think I'd be able to get out of there without like. He's
fairly unscathed. You
know, yeah. He's a fuck boy. So I feel like kind of like get in, get out, move on.
Yeah.
He'll be fucking somebody else by tomorrow night. It's fine.
Right.
So great. I didn't pick Scar because I'm like Scar feels like he could get real. Like he might try and call you later.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like he's gonna try and
he
call you.
He might get attached.
Yeah, and then it'll get very bad.
Yeah.
Very quickly. So I'm like, I think I can't go that way. I'm gonna marry Ursula.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm gonna marry her.
Same.
I am like, this is a badass bitch female entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Witch. Which I'm
all
for.
About learning spells and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of into it. Listen.
But if she got mad
evil?
At you.
I mean, yes, she would turn me into one of those little wormy thingies. I get it that she keeps in jars, but I feel like
I can think of a few people that I would like to turn into wormy things, if I'm honest, though. So I'm here for it.
I can think of specifically 12.
I am willing to risk it. I feel like that is my best bet.
Yeah.
I feel like we would be a feminist power couple.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that I'm a Let's Play Mermaids type of person.
Mm. Yeah.
I love being in the water.
Yeah.
So I think that I could be down.
Mm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Cass?
Okay. I am going to fuck Ursula.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think she's got a lot going on.
A lot of tentacles.
Eh?
Oh. Hey. Eh?
Oh.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I made it
but
less sexy there for
body
me.
Language.
Body language. But her her boobs are something to behold.
And I am a tit girl, so yeah. I feel like we're good here.
Too. She is always like wearing makeup and stuff like I could learn makeup tips.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I like this. What I will say though is I enjoy water as a visitor.
Sure.
I am not somebody who could live. That's not me. It's not for me.
Hmm.
I'm not a water liver.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So I'm more of a visitor.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah. So we're going to just have the sexual relations.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to marry Gaston.
Oh, yeah, I knew it.
Now, here's why. Mm-hmm. Because even though he's awful, I probably will stay alive. He's too dumb to off me.
Oh.
Yeah.
True.
He can be very easily trickable.
Can he even read the way he was looking at those books that Belle was carrying around? Like, I don't know. Like,
he might not be able to. I think that I could outwit, outmatch, outsmart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bamboozle.
I agree. Yeah. I think he would be able to.
Hoodwink.
Oh, I could hustle. Yes.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, I don't need him to last a long time anyway.
Also
and
true.
If there's a mirror in the room, I'm probably looking at myself as well.
This is a dangerous couple, actually.
It's very dangerous.
Yeah, actually a little
scary. Gaston's
scared.
A fire sign. So yeah, you got fire and fire for sure. Like
Gaston's probably an Aries.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two Aries. We are actually neither of us make it out of this alive, but I was too afraid to commit to either Ursula or Scar, and because both of them are dangerous.
They might kill you, yeah.
Yeah.
Both of them might kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too dangerous.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, and in fact, like, Scar has an entire, like, hyena army, which is very...
Yeah.
And they laugh at
very
you dying.
Very fashy situation.
Very.
Yeah. I am going to do the same thing as Keegan, actually. Like, I definitely feel like Ursula and I together... would be like we take over the ocean and I'm here for that.
Yeah.
You know,
what's Ursula's sign?
She's a bamboozler. She's a hoodwinker. Oh, she holds grudges.
She lives in the water. So you got to go to like Pisces, Cancer, Scorpio.
Cancer. She could be a Cancer.
She could be a Scorpio.
She could
bitch is a Scorpio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's a Scorpio.
Okay. Excellent.
All right. So wait, what is Scar?
Mm.
Awful Taurus.
Oh, he said awful.
Sorry,
and then said Taurus.
I didn't mean that.
That's terrible.
Cut that out, Thomas.
Thomas is a Taurus.
Oh shit! I'm sorry, Thomas.
He doesn't believe in it. It's fine, but I definitely think Earth sign. Yeah,
right.
Like, maybe a Virgo.
I'm sticking with Taurus.
All right.
Yeah. There we go.
Fair. Okay.
But yeah, and then, I'm gonna fuck Gaston too. I'll just add it to the list of similarly narcissistic dudes that I've hooked up with in the past and just be done with it. It'll be fine.
Get in, get out, get on with your life.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
Much.
Yeah. Like, definitely.
I like this journey for you.
You fucked him when you were on vacation in France.
And yes.
Then just, like, then you got the fuck out.
And you're like,
Mm.
And you don't even actually remember his name was Gaston.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but I do remember the name of the cafe. I got that bomb ass croissant.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Important stuff.
Yeah.
So we do have a couple of new patrons.
Yay.
That I want to give a shout out to. Big thank you to Spencer Ryan and Amanda Kay for joining us on Patreon. Yeah. We are so excited to have you. If you have any suggestions on anything that you would like to hear on the show, whether that be Tainted Loves you want us to do or movies you want to hear, since you are a member of the Patreon crew, you get to hear our bonus movie episodes once a month. But we're just so excited and happy to have you. Thank you. Welcome. Welcome.
Yeah. Well, you guys want to take five and then we'll come back with stories?
Sounds good.
Cool.
And we're back. All right, Christina.
Sorry if you got that heavy sigh while you were doing that.
I mean, listen, that's where we're at as a society.
It's a heavy sigh kind of day.
Yeah.
I literally just looked down at my knees and was like, girls, what did I do yesterday? That's how drunk I got at the pool.
Well, listen, I think we get a pass.
Yeah. I was like, I want to forget everything. And I did.
And I did. Yeah, both of your knees are all like scraped up and bruised. It's weird.
No clue. No clue. Wow.
Well, I have a story from a listener. It is titled Applebee's with a Farmer and Mating YouTube Videos.
He's a 10, but he makes you watch videos of animals fucking on YouTube.
No.
Yeah, guess Cassie's nightmare, as we just learned. Oh. Okay, so she says, hi again. I recently submitted a story that ended up on the podcast a few weeks ago. I showed my family, and we got to talking about my other worst dates.
Oh, my God.
They're like, oh, do you remember this guy?
Your family's like, oh, why didn't you tell him this one?
That's not even the worst one.
Oh, no.
It's a pretty short one, but here you go. A quick backstory as to why I chose to pursue this guy. I had just recently gotten out of a relationship with a guy who was a rebound gone wrong. I really only liked the guy as a friend, but ended up dating him for about a year.
Oh, gosh.
Wow, that's a long time to be on.
Only dating him for about a year, yeah.
Oh, no.
He was so nice, but very emotional and soft and not in a good way.
Oh.
Okay. Cassie. Cassie's like, he's fucking nice. He's too nice.
It reminds me of when
I married the nicest guy.
When we watched Bedazzled, and it's like that one who just like kept sensitive. Crying. Yeah. He's like so
That's
sensitive. He kept crying.
Exactly who I picture.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So to combat that, after we broke up, I decided to pursue the complete opposite of him.
Oh. Well,
overcorrect.
Yeah. Exactly. I met this guy on Tinder who was a buff, good looking farmer, .. and a complete asshole.
Oh,
nailed it. He would tell me things like my biology degree was useless because I went to a state school.
Whoa.
Well, that's not true in any way.
Okay.
I wasn't good enough to bring home to his mom, etc. But he would say it in a way that kind of made it a joke.
What?
Oh, that's the worst.
I hate you.
People that make like mean-spirited, like just say fucking terrible things. Like, and I then was laugh. Joking.
It was a joke.
It was laugh. A joke.
It's so funny, gaslighting. Dude. Yeah. To just be like, not why funny. Are you taking it so seriously? It's a joke.
And you're like, that's not a funny joke. But so...
I love comedy.
And you're not funny. So we decide to go on a date to Applebee's. Wasn't impressed with the restaurant choice, but it was a free meal, so why not? So I show up and he's already there waiting for me. I text him and tell him I'm there. I get a text back that instructs me to come to his truck. Well, my dumbass thinks maybe he got me flowers or wanted him to walk in with me.
You can bring those flowers in, sir. No. What?
I'm her, though. I would definitely be like, okay.
Do you want to know what it is?
No, his penis is out, isn't it? God damn it.
No. He had ordered us meals to go and had a six-pack of Busch Light on the floor of his truck.
Stop it. He did Applebee's to go.
He had us eat our meals in his fucking truck in the Applebee's parking lot.
Christ.
Why?
He has a girlfriend already and he's afraid to be seen with me. That's why you can't meet his mom. That's why everything.
I don't understand. I really don't, psycho. Actually. Because I'm like, you paid the same amount on the food. I mean,
and
yes,
now you get to eat it in an uncomfortable position.
If you'd gotten beers inside, it would have been more expensive, but you could just eat your food inside and then go drink beers
elsewhere
after.
Yeah,
it's a lot. It's weird.
I can also see getting meals to go and then eating at a scenic spot.
Yeah. Sure, yeah, like we're gonna be go like do a
in the parking lot,
but just in the parking lot of an Applebee's.
In a Jesus car, Christ. Which also eating in your car
as other people are pulling in to come in.
Eating in your car is so uncomfy.
This is
and
awful.
There's also something so sad about it. Like but I did just, that the other day.
You're in the bed of a truck. Too. So
oh, they're wait, not you're not even in
the front.
No, they're in the bed of what? His truck eating Applebee's. No.
Wait,
lot and
what?
Drinking Bush
somehow that is no. So much worse.
No,
that is so
I literally
worse.
Was sitting in the front seat. In my mind, was sitting in the front seat.
No,
and that's bad enough.
It's awful, but the bed of the truck is on, worth. I, like I'm on a display.
You're on full display. No. People are pulling in mm-mm. to get some half price apps, no. and you are just no. chilling.
I am not because I'm already gone.
I would
not
leave.
Me, said
oh
the flea.
My God. She says.
What in the fuck?
I just can't. I was very thrown off, but I got in and ate my chicken quesadilla.
Oh my God.
Why is this so funny to me?
Oh no. I'm imagining like pulling into a fucking Applebee's and seeing this happen.
I cannot. I am fucking dead. I'd be like, girl, I got you. Come on. If I saw
actually,
someone,
it would be
I would be driving
situation.
By taking pictures. Like, snap, snap.
It would be a rescue situation if the three of us saw that poor girl dressed up probably to go on a date.
Oh, no.
I know. And she's sitting in the back of a Ford F-150 and with a quesadilla.
I imagine it. I imagine it jacked up. The truck is jacked up, so she had to like climb in.
Oh no! And you're putting your salsa on it out of that
oh,
little
my
plastic
God.
Ramekin they give you.
Yes.
Like, horrible! I hate
oh,
it.
Oh wow!
Oh my God! Also, I love the fact that she was talking to her family, and they're like, "What about the time you fucking ate in the back of some dude's truck at Applebee's?" Write that one in.
Write that one.
Drinking Bush Light too,
oh,
which is
God.
Just like
oh,
what?
It's such a vibe.
Says everything
I
it needs to
love
say.
This
I think.
So much. It's.
She hated this laugh. Oh.
It was so awkward. I wish the story ended there.
Oh!
For some reason, he suggests we go back to my house because he wants to meet my family.
What? No!
I lived with my mom at the time. Don't ask me why, but I agreed. So he proceeds to sit on the couch, took the remote off
what?
My 15-year-old sister, and started playing YouTube videos
what?
Of various farm animals
oh,
mating.
My.
Farm animals birthing their
God.
Offspring.
In front of your family. In
sir.
Front of your family.
Sir. Just tattle on yourself, you
he
fucking...
He just drunk drove after drinking, like,
Bush
Light.
He's a farmer, and you're... I feel
wow.
like...
The vibe is bad.
She says, I really don't even know how to wrap this up because it was just so absurd. Well, anyways, thanks for reading. I'm like, so I was like, oh my God, what did your mom think of this guy showing those videos to you? How did you get him out of your house and then out of your life? We have so many questions.
We do.
And she says, hi. So my mom actually wasn't home. My younger sister was. And we kind of awkward laughed and asked questions to be nice, but also kind of saying things to push him out the door like, oh, yeah, I'm tired. I've got school tomorrow, etc. Oh,
she's 15. The sister is 15.
Yeah. Until eventually I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to sleep. You need to leave. And then I ghosted him after that. She says, I know it's not nice, but he was a major asshole. Oddly enough, he messaged me like a month later, bragging about his new girlfriend and how much his mom loves her and how it could have been me.
Oh,
no.
No.
It
oh, no.
It couldn't have. No. Nope.
It wouldn't have. In fact, couldn't. I want to warn her.
I know.
Has she eaten the back of your truck?
I said, who's this? And acted like it wasn't me.
Oh, God.
Who dis? New phone.
Actually, power move. That's amazing. Just being like, what?
What?
I don't even know her.
I don't know her.
No, I really needed that laugh. Just the image of...
It literally killed me the first time that I read that. I almost never like laughed that hard by myself, but I was like literally could picture it. I like saw her in this beautiful like sundress in,
chewing
in, like,
on a soggy quesadilla.
Dirty truck.
Oh
bed.
God. And then watching farm animals mate.
Yeah.
In
also
front of your
in front of my sister.
No.
Oh my God.
No.
I would never
what
hear
the
end
fuck
of it.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. And
who wants to watch that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, did he think it was going to be sexy?
I have no idea. What I'm hoping not. What was the thought
process?
I have literal
What was
chills.
The reason?
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Well, I have one that'll make you unhappy.
Great.
Let's see. All right. So, I went to dinner with a friend a few years ago, and the guy she was dating for 6 months wanted to meet up with us. He ended up taking us to the super fancy cocktail bar. Great, charismatic guy. So naturally, I was happy for her. 3 months later, I'm in Maryland for a housewarming, and this guy shows up with his wife, who is talking about being happy. Her parents could stay with the kids so that they could fly into town and let their hair down. When he was introduced to me, he looked like he saw a ghost.
Oh, no.
And absolutely did everything he could to not let me be in a small talk vicinity of his wife.
Uh-huh.
I had to sneak pics and some video and send it to my friend the next day because I didn't know how I could explain without proof. Totally, right? Like, yeah. You don't want to be the one who's like, so your boyfriend that you've been seeing for 6 months came to a party with his wife yesterday.
Oh my
God. Like, how do you explain that? And then you're like, yeah, video proof is the way to go.
Yeah. Get those receipts.
Ooh. Funny enough, he was texting her all night from home before the party. And he's swamped with work, project. Can you imagine? Like, you've been like telling this
mother fucker.
Well, it didn't end well for him. He's divorced now. So
yeah. Oh, well, fucking liars, man.
How can you fucking imagine?
Yeah, I can. Well, but yeah, it's fucking terrible.
Oh my
God. But also just like being that friend too, and yes, having to tell your friend. Oh my God. That's the worst too.
Terrible. Oh God. Horrible. Oof.
Oof.
All right. Well, this one is also going to make you pretty mad. Okay.
Great.
I had a lot of dates a few years ago when I was single. Some of them, let's be honest, probably most of them, weren't particularly good, but one or two were particularly brief. As a woman over 50, it did seem that there were a few men of my own age that wanted to date me. It appears that the older a man gets, the bigger the age gap between him and his date has to be. This means that many middle-aged men who see themselves as anything of a catch, for example, actually being able to hold down a job, being fairly well-spoken and okay to look at, would expect a woman about 20 years younger than himself.
Yep.
Gross.
It's yep. True, yeah.
I know.
I'm not obsessed with age, but many of the men I was attracting were at a far lower energy level than me. If a man of my own age, like the guy in question, was fairly good looking, had his own business, his own house, his own hair, none of which mattered to me actually, was interested in going on a date, I must admit, I did wonder what his issue was going to turn out to be.
You were like, where is this going to go?
Where's the poop?
Yeah. The suspicion was that there was some reason why he wasn't snapped up by some probably much younger woman. Still, I told myself off for being negative and put my cynicism on hold. We agreed to meet up at a local pub for a drink, and at first glance, he did look very nice. Tall, well-dressed, fairly nice to look at, was rather posh, actually. We started chatting, and I wanted to know what he was interested in doing in his spare time. He enjoyed driving and was an extremely good driver, apparently. He pointed out his big 4x4 car outside the window. Then he said, women shouldn't really drive.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Hot take. Okay.
Okay.
It gets so much worse. Perhaps 1 in 50 women are capable of driving like a man. Actually, I think I've been instrumental in getting quite a few of the worst ones off the road.
What?
One of my favorite pastimes is driving, so this is pissing me off extra.
Yeah, you're taking it real personal.
I am.
As you should. Okay, because here we go. If I'm driving down the road and I see a car being driven badly by a woman, I have a run-in with her. Nothing serious, mind. I've got good judgment enough just to have a little scrape with no serious harm done.
I will fucking...
It'll be her fault. I just won't take evasive action if she's in the wrong. I'll swing in rather than drive around. That's the kind of thing that'll put them off driving and may make their insurance go up as well, which might put a stop to them.
Wow.
I couldn't hate this man more, honestly.
Yep.
But I feel like you're going to tell me things that will make me hate him more.
I mean, not really. She said it might put a stop to them. It's best to get them off the road for their own safety as well as everyone else's.
It's sir, you're the one causing fucking accidents. Traffic accidents.
So he's like running into women with his car.
Yes.
Like running into their car.
He's like, they're being unsafe. I'm the one causing all these accidents.
Uh-huh. And he says, it's probably a relief to them. I'm actually doing them a favor. I got up and left.
Yes. Yes.
She's like, she heard that. And she's like, she got up and walked out. And she says, my lovely, energetic boyfriend of 5 years didn't have his own company, his own house or hair when I first met him. But he is a diamond beyond measure.
And yeah.
I'm like, okay. But that appalled me because I was just like, I've never in my life heard a man admit to running his car into women's cars in hopes that they will be so traumatized that they won't drive anymore and that their insurance will go up.
I have.
And he's also gaslighting them because he's causing an accident with them. And then he's saying you were at fault for this accident.
Exactly.
Isn't that
it's
the most wild thing you've ever heard in your life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. The audacity.
Wow. Imagine.
Incredible.
Imagine. Imagine.
I can't.
The place that you're at that you're like, hey, brag. I'm such a good driver that I cause purposeful accidents. Uh-huh.
And I'm doing them a favor, by the way.
To traumatize women.
Yeah. I'm doing them a favor, though.
It's so... And people wonder, like, we will never run out of stories for our podcast.
No, because, honestly, because
evergreen.
People have no self-awareness, clearly. No, because I'm like, Jesus why Christ. Would you think this is an appropriate thing to do? And then why would you think it's an appropriate thing to bring admit up to a stranger?
This is a crime, what he's doing, pretty much. Yes, it is criminal.
It is. Yeah.
Ugh.
And you're just like, truly.
Wow.
The audacity. I do not have the self-confidence.
Honestly, it's something. It's got to be like narcissism or something to think you're so high, like so much higher above women or like so much more intelligent, whatever he's justifying this, that he's like feels comfortable saying that, knowing that
full well.
It's so bonkers.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Woo-wee.
Well, I need to take 5 before we come back. Okay. Tainted love.
And we're back.
All right. I have the tainted love this week, and it is still June. I really wanted to do tell a story about something that I think can help me make sense of a lot of the feelings that I'm having right now. So I'm going to talk about Nikki Kuhnhausen. Okay. The life and disappearance of Nikki Kuhnhausen. So Nikki Kuhnhausen was described by her friends and family as full of life, cheerful, caring, and so full of energy. She loved to do makeup and aspired to be a stylist for her idol, Nicki Minaj. In 2019, she was 17, and she would do makeup for the cheerleading squad. She would post TikToks, lip syncing to her favorite songs. She was also transgender, and her mother, Lisa, said she never struggled at all with her identity, and her family didn't either. Her family never questioned it. From a very young age, Nikki was just Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that she was only 17, Nikki had been living at a friend's place in Vancouver, Washington. She was going to school, but she often wouldn't make it all the time. She had confided in her mother that she was abusing meth.
Mm.
There were many attempts to get Nikki into rehab and help her kick drugs for good, but nothing seemed to stick. And her dangerous addiction came to a head in 2018 when Lisa got a call from a detective saying Nikki had been shot 6 times. Lisa raced to the hospital, terrified, only to find that Nikki was up in a bed with her 2 girlfriends taking selfies. By a miracle, all 6 shots missed every major artery.
Wow. Can you? Oh, my
miracle.
God.
Yeah.
You know, she was shot in like the stomach, the neck, her legs, and it just lucky. Just absolute lucky.
I would 100% be like, oh, we're not going to the hospital. I would have like, right, we're six, going to a morgue.
Six shots.
Shot six times. Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah. So Lisa was hoping that this brush with death would be a catalyst for Nikki to give up drugs. But, you know, Lisa had her own history of substance abuse. Mm. And but her and Nikki were super close. Like, they talked every single day, messages back and forth. So Lisa at the time had been working for Walmart, and she would call and talk to Nikki before her shift, like, every day. So on June 6, 2019, Lisa knew something was wrong because her daughter would talk to her daily before work, and that day the call didn't come. She just knew something had happened, so she contacted police.
I think you just do know, too.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of the call, like, there's something in your
yeah.
soul that you're like, wait.
And she talks about it. I got a lot of my information from a podcast called Should Be Alive, which is, I think it's a 6-part series that you can find. And all of our other sources will be on the website. But she even said, she's like, I knew something was wrong, but she has anxiety. And so she was like, maybe I'm just like being anxious. Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. But one thing she did that really got to me, and I just, she, Nikki had brought over a hoodie. A couple of days prior, and so she took the hoodie and put it on her pillow as a pillowcase that night, and that just really affected me. She knew in her heart, but luckily, like, police actually took her seriously and were like, okay, we can see that you guys do message all the time. Yeah,
this is weird.
And also, like, despite the fact that Nikki was 17 and oftentimes people are like, they're runaways, they'll come back or whatever, Nikki was already living on her own, doing whatever she wanted when she wanted. So it's like, she's already, you know,
acting like an adult.
Exactly. So they're right, like,
and it would be very strange if she spoke to her mother every single day. It would be very strange for her to disappear on her own without, like, they had a good enough relationship,
right,
and she had enough freedom.
Yeah.
That's like, why wouldn't you tell your mom? You've already told her like everything else about your life. Like, why wouldn't you be like, actually, I'm leaving town for a while or whatever.
Exactly. So luckily, like I said, police took it seriously and they talked to Nikki's roommates and learned during the late hours of June 5th, 2019, she left home to meet a date she met online. Through her Snapchat messages, they were able to ascertain who her date that night was, 25-year-old David Bogdanov. So as police try to find David, Lisa springs into action. You couldn't go anywhere in Vancouver without seeing a missing persons flyer for Nikki. The National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation also helped to spread the word. Police, meanwhile, left cards, tried calling, and even left Snapchat messages, but David never replied. It seemed he had vanished, and months went by with no leads.
Not suspicious at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Finally, in late September, 4 months after Nikki's disappearance, investigators heard from David, who said he'd been having phone problems.
For 4 months?
4 months.
Just received their messages.
Sorry, sir. What year is this, 2019? Yeah. You're having phone problems for 4 months. 4 months?
No, you're not.
I can't go 4 minutes.
Uh-huh, if my phone has trouble restarting one time, yep, I'm at the AT&T store that afternoon.
Exactly.
Like, I'm like, because I can't let this thing die on me. Like, no.
It's your lifeline.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he agreed to come in for questioning on October 2nd. He told them he'd been out drinking with his brothers when he noticed Nikki on a block by herself at 3 a.m. and they started talking. Yeah, she was just like, he's out drinking with his brothers. He saw Nikki walking by herself and was like, hey, and was like flirting with her. And he's like, it's kind of cold. Would you want my jacket? And so gave her his jacket.
As a woman, can I just say, please? Don't
approach me at 3 a.m.
If I'm walking alone, don't approach me at all. Like, it's actually scary, like, to have men
terrifying
when you're walking by yourself approach you. Like, it's scary. Don't do it, please.
Well, they exchange contact information, and then he says he picked her up 2 hours later. As they were alone in the car, Nikki told David that she was transgender. And that's when David says he ordered her out of the car. His details after that are extremely vague as to where he went afterwards and all of that stuff, but he went out of his way to let investigators know that he found anyone that was a part of the LGBTQIA plus community disgusting. With no other information or clues, police released David, but not after he offered up one more piece of info. He said, "I wish I could help you more, but I don't know. I'm not even a violent person at all, you know? Nothing." It's a weird thing to say.
It's a very weird thing to say. Like, why are you offering that up? Also, why are you offering up that you think that members of the LGBTQ community...
Several times he offered it up.
Unprovoked?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just out here tattling on themselves.
Then on December 7th, 2019, 6 months after Nikki had disappeared, a man who was picking bear grass on nearby Larch Mountain found something, a human skull. Under the dense canopy of trees and down a steep ravine, other items were found, like a green jacket, a bandana, jewelry, and a phone cord tied in a knot with a circle with artificial multicolored hair extensions tangled inside. Vancouver police were able to match evidence photos taken on the mountain to Nikki's personal photos online, securing confirmation that the bones found were Nikki Kuhnhausen. About a week later, dental records and DNA verified it, and the medical examiner determined that Nikki had been strangled to death with a phone cord.
Jesus.
On December 19th, police picked up David to once again question the last person to see her alive. But they had something different this time. They had his phone records. When confronted with the fact that police knew he had been to Larch Mountain that early morning, David asked for a lawyer and officers placed him under arrest for murder. Charges were murder in the second degree and malicious harassment, which is a hate crime in Washington. Two transgender activists launched the Justice for Nikki Task Force to bring attention to some of the struggles the trans community is burdened with, like living with fear, fear of being misunderstood, fear of being attacked. Transgender people are four times more likely than non-transgender people to become victims of violent crime, and most of the time there's not an arrest made. Around 30% of trans people murdered have someone arrested and fully prosecuted. And also, they're often misgendered in media reports, if they're even reported at all.
Right.
Lisa had found focus and purpose with the task force, and she wanted to make sure that no one forgot Nikki's name and that she would make a difference. Sorry.
That's okay.
The trial got underway in August of 2021, with crowds of family and friends in pink masks rallied around Lisa. The defense completely reversed everything, and they came out with the claim of self-defense.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
Stating that David was afraid for his life because he had a gun in the car, and that,
his gun. Okay.
David's gun. David had his own gun in the car that he had, like, in the front seat, and... Once Nikki had told him that she was transgender, he got mad and told her to get out, and she attacked him.
That's not how that works at all. You fucking liar.
Exactly. So the only witness that they called was David himself, where he reiterated that he was taught that, being transgender was sinful and not okay. And I'm not going to talk about the rest of his defense because it's bigoted, disgusting, and victim blaming. So he did say over and over how humiliated he was before he disposed of her body and fled the country to Ukraine. Prosecution stated his motivation the entire time was his hate and his rage.
Yeah.
Yep.
And after a two-week emotional trial, jurors found him guilty of both charges.
One, it is incredible that he was actually prosecuted and found guilty.
Yeah.
Two, he did literally tell on himself that entire time. I can't believe they let him testify. I'm really surprised his defense let him testify, because for him to even admit all of those things.
Yeah.
That is a truly hateful person, like hate to his very, very core, that he couldn't even fake being a decent human being for the time it took for him to testify.
Right. No, he wanted to make sure that for him, it must have been like, I just need to make sure that people know, like, that I think it's gross. Like, you're so out of pure bigotry. You're gonna love prison, sir.
I wasn't seeking that thing.
Right. Yeah. That's more important to him than the life of another human. But
his embarrassment. Fuck you.
I know.
Piece of shit.
So jurors did find him guilty of both charges. It was difficult. They would have had it sooner, but one person was a holdout. They actually had to write to the judge and say, one person is not voting on the evidence. They're voting on their own bigotry and hatred. Wow. So the judge was like, go back in and get it. Get this one person. Like, and so they finally did.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, why are we this way? It's very confusing for me. And it's like, it makes me very emotional because I'm just like, why? How can you look at this situation and not have empathy for another like human being?
Right.
I don't understand it.
And when you look at her pictures and hear like her mother talk about her and hear her friends talk about her, it's difficult to not be like overcome with emotion of, this is just like another human being. And I, you know, I don't understand why, like we said at the top of the episode, why we just don't care about each other.
Yeah, that it's, I don't know.
There is a real empathy problem in this country. Mm-hmm. It just is.
Yeah. Well, humans just have a real compassion problem in general. It feels like they just, I don't understand it.
Well, he was sentenced to the maximum of 20 years. One of the things that he has, the charges were murder in the second degree and malicious harassment. It's a hate crime in Washington. So he was convicted of that. So that's good. And they're satisfied with that verdict. That was the max that he could get, was 20 years. But finding a way to memorialize her daughter and empower other transgender teenagers to pursue their dreams was important to Lisa. And it recently happened with the passing of legislation in Washington State known as Nikki's Law. It's designed to prevent defendants charged with violent crimes from relying on a victim's gender identity or sexual orientation, the so-called gay or trans panic defense.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And there's only like 16 states that actually have legislation to protect against that. And you can probably guess which ones do not. You would probably be right if you guessed. According to the Human Rights Campaign, there have been more violent deaths of transgender and non-binary people in the U.S. in 2021 than any other year on record.
Wow.
And with the recent overturning of Roe v. Wade, putting all kinds of paths forward to take away rights for women, rights for the LGBTQIA community, with the Texas GOP declaring gay people abnormal, and with Florida's Don't Say Gay, I want everyone to be aware of what is at stake for us right now and give people resources to check out. Because if you're like me, it can feel really hopeless unless there's something you can do.
Yeah.
And I'm a doer. So I definitely will have links in the show notes. But I want to point out that some really great groups to get involved with: Trevor Project, Planned Parenthood, ACLU, HRC, and GLAAD. You can volunteer, you can donate, you can be an informed advocate.
Yeah, I want to also add to that, if you have money, there's a lot, Planned Parenthood tends to get a lot of donations, rightly so, they should, but there is another organization called abortionfunds.org. Mm-hmm. You can go there to donate money to help people travel to states where they can receive care, reproductive care, if they need it, because already we're seeing states start to enact their trigger laws that are making abortions illegal. So that's another one, abortionfunds.org. If you have the financial means, I know it's a very difficult time for a lot of people financially right now, but if you can help, there are ways to help and ways to donate. And I know it can feel very hopeless, and I feel very helpless because it just feels like everything that we're doing, it feels like we're moving backwards in so many ways. And with things like same-sex marriage being questioned as well, it just feels like there's nothing we can do. We've done all the protesting. We've done all the voting that we were supposed to do, that we were we had to do, and we're still moving in this backward trajectory. And it's really scary, but there are still things you can do. There are still good people out there putting the work in. And as hard as it has been for me, don't lose sight of that. Try not to lose sight of that.
Yeah, it's definitely hard. And my heart's out for people that are stuck. I do realize my privilege in being here and being in California. My heart goes out to people that are struggling, especially in Texas, and especially if you are part of the LGBTQIA plus community. Like, anything that you can do, if you do live in a state like that, there are a lot of local organizations too, like boots on the ground, things that you can do in your community. And please, like, we have our Facebook group, you know, a lot of people have commented like what state they're in and that you can come and visit anytime, you know. You definitely have three women in California that would love to show you the sites, so feel free to come.
Oh my god,
come
totally.
To California. But
you have allies here, and you have allies within our community for sure. If you need resources, if you need help, if you have questions, if you just want to reach out to us because you have something you want to share, we are a safe space for you. I want to also bring up something that I think that is so important. We don't need to keep traumatizing ourselves to justify why abortion is important. There have been a lot of people who've been sharing their traumatizing, awful stories about why they had to have abortions. You don't have to do that. And those stories aren't going to help change people's minds. You can share those stories if you want to and you feel compelled to, but you don't have to re-traumatize yourself by telling these stories to justify something that should be a human right, a woman's body's right, or our rights to our health should not have to be bolstered by you re-traumatizing yourself to tell these stories. If you want to share those stories, that's entirely up to you, and you should feel empowered to do so if that's something you feel empowered to do because you want to. But you're not going to change these ugly minds by doing that. It's awful. It's awful to have to do that to yourselves. And you know, we're just, you know, we're here to support you 100%.
But I also, I wanted to tell that story because of the people that got involved and made change possible through something that was such a horrible act. They wanted to do something that would bring some help to other, you know, members in their community. And so that's what I want to say, is that like, rely on your community, because I really do think there's more of us than of them.
You're absolutely
it
right.
It feels
absolutely right.
Like there's not. And there are times like this where it definitely does not feel like there's enough people that aren't okay with what's going on. But I know, I feel it in my heart that there are more of us than of them.
There's more good people than bad people. And everything that I've said, and you know, feeling that real lack of compassion and empathy, it is real. And I do feel it. And it makes me tremendously sad. I do, though, really feel like there are more good people in the world than bad people in the world. There are more people who want to help than don't. It's just that we don't have the power right now. Like, that's all it is, on an individual. That's why we have to help each other on an individual level, on a person-to-person level. So, you know, that's why we're saying, if you need help, reach out for help. We'll find somebody to help you.
Yep.
That's what we have to do.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of to do.
Yeah.
So
I got to be honest with you guys. We normally end this show with like on a happy note, because we just talked about something sad. And I got to be honest, today, there's nothing happy for me to think about. And I know you just watched a show that I think is really important that a lot of people watch. And Christine, I think I'd like you to share a little bit about what you just watched.
Are you talking about The Janes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Keegan, I think, would be the best person to, because she did a really great episode on YAMF. about the Janes.
Yeah, I mean, not to plug my own show, but we did a episode on the Jane Collective. We also have an episode on the history of Roe versus Wade. If you want to go check out those episodes to give you like a little bit of how we got to this point. And then also we did cover in that episode, because it was, of course, before Roe was overturned, what was likely to happen if Roe was overturned. So if you want to go and get a little bit more information on that. But I have not watched the Janes documentary.
It's really good. It's on Hulu, but it really is kind of, to piggyback on what Keegan said, it is about, you know, when you have these moments of feeling powerless, there are a lot of things that you can do. And yeah, you don't realize like how much you can do just by helping a single person.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that is something to keep in mind, is that like throughout history, there have always been helpers. There have always been people who have been willing to put themselves in harm's way to do the right thing and to help others. You know, like the Underground Railroad existed, right? Yeah. And people put themselves in harm's way to do what was right. And, you know, the Jane Collective was a group of women, feminists who got together whenever abortion was illegal and found avenues for women seeking to get abortions to try and make it as safe as possible, because the mortality rate for people attempting to end their pregnancies on their own, because they will continue to do that. Like, yep, making abortions illegal isn't going to stop women or people with uteruses, rather, from trying to end their own pregnancies. And so the Jane Collective was a group of people, mostly women, who got together and tried to find a safe way for people seeking to end their pregnancies.
Yeah.
To do it safely. Yeah.
And there's so many resources out there. My show notes will be full of things that you can check out and click on and see ways. I know that helps me. I think everybody needs to, you know, do what they need to do. And it's okay to, you know, take a little mental break. You know, I definitely, this episode was really difficult to record.
Yeah. I mean,
but we haven't missed a week. And
we haven't. And, you know, I do want to say, like, because I feel like we always need to say this, although I'm not sure that we do. We know we're not a political podcast. But first of all, the personal is political. And when something affects you personally, it's political. It just is inherently.
Right.
We are who we are. We believe what we believe. And this is what we think is right. And we think is right to discuss and talk about. If you don't,
I think maybe we're not the place for you, maybe.
Well, and you know, if you're like, you just want to skip this episode or whatever, that's fine. But it's, we're not going to not
talk address about
something that is weighing very heavily on all of us right now. So we get it. Sometimes you want to come here to give your brain a break. And sometimes, and most of the time, this show is brain candy. And we're happy that we can be that for you.
Junk food, I believe.
Junk food for the brain. Yeah. We couldn't this week. We just couldn't this week. And that is what that is.
Yeah. But reach out. Reach out to us. I have loved seeing all the messages on Facebook and everything. So we really, really love you guys so much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.